Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with Sarah McInerney and Cormac O'Hara.
Now, over the last day or two, you definitely would have heard of DeepSeek. It's a new free AI-powered chatbot. You ask it questions, you get answers. It can search the web. It can use a reasoning model to elaborate on answers. And yesterday, news of its launch wiped hundreds of billions of dollars off big tech stocks on stock markets around the world. Why? Well, because the Chinese company behind DeepSeek claims to have brought the product to the market at a fraction of the cost of its rivals, many of them in the US. And US President Donald Trump has called it a wake-up call for the whole US tech industry and maybe for us all on planet Earth. For more on this, we're joined by Davies Head of Equities, Aidan Donnelly, and by Barry O'Sullivan, Professor at UCC's School of Computer Science. You're both very welcome to the programme. Can we do the shock in the US, first of all? Aidan, you might tell us why DeepSeek had such an effect on technology stocks in the US and why billions of dollars, hundreds of billions, were wiped off shares.
Yeah, well, I suppose everybody is focused on, in particular, the impact it's had on NVIDIA's market capitalization yesterday. It wiped, believe it or not, $589 billion off the market cap of that company. But it's spread beyond technology as well into a lot of industrial companies and utility companies and a few other companies that are involved in the whole area of data centers and the proliferation of data centers going forward. But I think the big key question, I suppose, here for the market has been, you know, if you look back over the last kind of two and a bit years since ChatGPT was launched in November 2022, there's kind of been two fundamental assumptions that have been going on. One is, you know, if companies want to compete in AI or to use it, they're going to have to make massive and very energy intensive expenditure to do so. And then secondly, people thought that, you know, NVIDIA's lead in producing the chips for AI was so great, they basically had a monopoly. And, you know, there was commentators going on to say, look, this monopoly is going to remain in place for, you know, until the end of this decade.
Okay, so, and this turned those assumptions on their head, really, I suppose, is the shock. So I'll come back to you in just a second on the implications of this, but I'm going to spool it back for a second, Barry O'Sullivan. And why is this such a big deal? I mean, if you're just tuning in, for the uninitiated, say, why is the world shocked about this?
Well, I suppose the world is shocked because, as we just heard, there was a sense that the American companies were so far ahead of the game that it would take, you know, the bones of a decade for the Chinese companies to catch up. But of course, that's not true. As with all technology, once technology has been developed, people can begin to develop it very, very efficiently and stand on the shoulders of previous giants and producing new versions. And I think just that came too soon. I think the investment market thought that they were going to make lots and lots of profit and lots of there's going to be lots of returns. But, you know, I think the world has changed very, very quickly.
People are going to be wondering. We spoke with Geoffrey Hinton, the godfather of AI, on this program. I think it was last April. I checked it up today, sometime around then anyway. So it's 8 or 9 months ago. And he was telling us that if we're not careful here with AI, it could become an existential threat. Okay. Now, in that period of 8 months, we have gone from we need to regulate AI, we need to be careful with AI, to harnessing the power of AI, and the superpowers are going at it hammer and tongs. Have we lost run of ourselves, Barry?
Well, there's a narrative here which also isn't quite true. So there's a lot of hype, there's a lot of excitement around the technology, and you know, first of all, Geoffrey Hinton's assertion that, you know, this technology could pose an existential threat just isn't true at all. You know, I think I've said to you before, we can't keep our phones charged, you know, so let's not lose the run of ourselves.
Well, certainly this technology, he says that if it has a reasoning capacity, which they say it does here, and if it can elaborate on its own terms, well, then it's not an existential threat.
No, so the reasoning capability that we're talking about here in the context of DeepSeek is just its ability to make sense of common logical statements, you know. So just to do mathematical reasoning, not to do the kind of reasoning that Geoffrey Hinton would have been speaking about last April, which is this ability to think in the same way as a human being. Mm-hmm. So there's a huge difference between these. And of course, the problem for the general public and, you know, people who, I suppose, don't understand the technology is that these terms all seem to be the same thing, but they're not really.
But is there not a danger of the exponential power of the machine to elaborate on its own reasoning, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think so. And the reason I don't think so is if you look at these large language models, they have essentially consumed everything that they can consume. There isn't an exponential amount of information that they haven't consumed yet. So they have essentially been trained on all the data that they possibly could ever be trained on. And so we already see that these things just make simple, common mistakes. The thing that's interesting here is that the Chinese companies were able to do this so cheaply. Mm-hmm. But of course, you can do things cheaply if you stand on if you use what's called open source code and open source models. You know, basically, you know, a company innovates and does something, and then they give you or make available their code so you can build upon it. We've actually done that ourselves. We've built, you know, large language models from open source data, and we can do it very, very efficiently. So, of course, everybody can do that.
Okay, so I'll go back to Aidan on that now, because I was reading about the engineer who created this initially in China, and as Barry says, it is open source. He pushed it along. And there were others working on it right across China. And he said, we were really surprised about the pushback on cost, because he said, we just wanted to create the most effective AI source or AI app. And we're surprised about this all this talk about the financing and the funding of it and the amount of money that had to go into it and resources to create it. But they're questioning, Aidan, in the US, the amount of money spent on this and the amount of resources put into this. They're saying there is a subsidy somewhere from China, isn't there?
Yeah, and look, that's ultimately, I suppose there's a few things, you know, people have looked at it and there's questions about, is the technology actually as good as they say it is? Is it as good as, you know, what's already available in the West and all those types of things? But I think ultimately where the issue lies with this is going to be the fact that, look, whether it was DeepSeek or something else, if it's proven that you can actually deploy something like this at a fraction of the cost, then it's going to inspire hundreds of companies, particularly in the US, to basically start spending money. Like, it used to be the case when people talked about AI that, you know, they would have said, look, there's billions of capital expenditure required to develop a workable AI, and therefore only a few companies can play, and there's a nice big moat around those big companies. But like, if you can buy into the game with only tens of millions rather than tens of billions, suddenly that moat around, you know, that industry is looking fairly penetrable. Yeah.
Which is really intriguing. You say it's this DeepSeek app is a game changer when it comes to data centers and big tech. Is it for that reason, the accessibility of it?
I think it is. A lot of it could be the game changer. Ultimately, I think is going to be in the cost of it. Like, if you have it, and they're saying they can produce it somewhere between 5 to 10% of the cost of what has been before. Like, you know, the bulls of the industry out there will argue, well, you know, if it's going to be even cheaper, there'll be even more people are going to use it. But like, if you're developing something at you know 95% lower cost, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to see a kind of a 20 times increase in demand to get you back to where you want to in terms of the profitability and the revenue potential for this, as for the industry overall. And I think that's the key that's really seen the share prices wobble yesterday, because so much of these companies were priced on this perfect idea that this substantial growth was going to go on unchallenged for decades and decades. And unfortunately, you know, I was around in managing money in 99 and 2000 when we had similar things about fiber and the internet. And look, ultimately, technology always finds a better way to either make it cheaper, quicker, or more efficient.
That's the problem.
You don't necessarily have those monopolies for very long.
Problem. How far away are we, Barry, before Aidan turns to all of his team and says, sorry, folks, we'll have to let you go because AI can do a better job than all of us.
That will never happen.
Of course.
But I think the real story here is that this is a Chinese system, And if you look at the privacy aspects of it, the data that you're consenting to has been sent to China. The access to information on your phone has been sent to China. And we have to remember that the US and the Chinese see AI differently to the rest of the world. They see it through two lenses. They see it through the lens of finance, and they see it through the lens of national security. So I think people who choose now to download and install DeepSeek, I would really caution them to be very, very careful about what they consent to and to really understand that, because the timing of the release of the system is not a surprise either. Okay. Given what's happening in the United States. So there's a geopolitical aspect to this. Well, with TikTok, but also with Trump's withdrawing, for example, the support for ethical AI.
Okay. Can I go back to you, Aidan? And I said that in jest, obviously. But it's something that crosses the mind of everyone, isn't it, that reads about AI and the power of AI. I mean, you talked about revenue potential and the potential of share prices to go up and so on. But is there a risk that AI could wipe out thousands of jobs across the economy?
Like I think that, you know, I've always maintained that I think the companies that deploy AI in their business will be much bigger beneficiaries than the companies that develop it. Okay. Mm-hmm. That if you look at any company operating in any business, in any industry, in any part of the world, the benefits in terms of improved efficiency or optimization of your workflows and things like that is definitely enhanced by the use of AI. That's not to say that, you know, you go in and you basically replace all your workforce with AI. It's about, you know, utilizing it and leveraging it. And I think the big thing that people oftentimes forget, you know, when they think about or when they talk about AI, it's like this major force that's out there that you know, you need these supercomputers for it and things like that. Mm-hmm. The reality is it isn't. It's already being used in different formats and hundreds of different companies, from, you know, when pricing algorithms on airline websites or hotel websites, and, mm-hmm. you know, other companies using it to forecast demand for their products on a global basis. All these things are happening now, and like, it's not as if there's suddenly going to be this switch that will come in. I think the biggest question for many companies is, are the applications available out there right now to be able to utilize in their business? And there probably isn't. But that's not to say that they won't come along. And ultimately, you know, going back to what Barry was saying, you know, the technology is only as good as the people that are utilizing it. So it's not a question that, you know, will it get rid of a load of jobs? It will get rid of jobs, but that doesn't mean that people aren't redeployed by using the AI.
Well, look, we haven't talked about guardrails or regulation that much. We'll come back to that at another point. A really interesting conversation. Aidan Donnelly, Davies Head of Equities, and Barry O'Sullivan, Professor at UCC's School of Computer Science. Thank you both very much.